I suspect we've all have the experience more often than we want of trying to pray. And, you know, a thought comes to our mind and it's a pretty good thought. You know, something we want to pray about or whatever. But then before we know it, our minds have passed from that thought to this thought to that thought to this thought. And pretty soon we're asking ourselves, how did I get there? And sometimes those thoughts, well, they're not really appropriate for prayer. But our mind goes from one thing to another. Our imagination sometimes can be an enemy of our prayer. What I'd like to do this morning is kind of look at a way that maybe our imagination can be a friend of our prayer. The readings this morning have a couple really strong images. The second reading. You are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then that's God is Father. If we could just let that image of Father somehow rumble around inside of our minds. And I know not all of us have had always a good image of Father, but I think we all have an image of what a father could be, or what we'd like for a father to be. Can we take that image and begin to say, God is that to the highest degree? And can we then begin to talk to God? Not as little children, necessarily. If you're a little child, that's fine. But if you're an adult, talk to God in your imagination as an adult child. Telling God what you need. Telling God your joys, your sorrows, your pains. Asking God for the help that we need. But always remembering that God is Father. Like a father, He loves us no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done. Another strong image of our readings today is the Good Shepherd. Now, obviously, none of us are shepherds, I don't think. And haven't had much experience with that. But we do know something about shepherds. We know that shepherds would lead their flocks to good pastures. We know that shepherds would protect their flocks from the thieves and the wolves and the coyotes. We know that shepherds would bring their flocks back home at night to protect them from harm. And so we know this about shepherds. Can we begin to think more and imagine in our minds Jesus as shepherd? We don't have to think of ourselves as sheep necessarily, but can we think of ourselves as that flock of people, that group of people whom Jesus shepherds? And can we even attach to that maybe the image from Luke's gospel about that shepherd that had 100 sheep and lost one, and he goes and seeks it and finds it, brings it home on his shoulders. Maybe we could even allow ourselves to be that person, that our good shepherd goes and seeks and finds and carries home. Can we talk to that shepherd in our imagination? Can we tell that shepherd where we need protection, where we fear frightened and vulnerable? Can we tell that shepherd the hungers that we have in our own lives? Can we speak gratitude to that shepherd? Gratitude for what he has already done for us. St. Ignatius of Loyola, he liked to use the imagination in his prayer. And he did it in a little different way, but similar. He would suggest that, for instance, take a passage out of the Scriptures. Or a scene out of the Scriptures. Let's say it's Bethlehem, the birth of Jesus. And he says, in your imagination, go there. Be there in the around the manger, in the stable. And what would you say to Jesus? What would you say to Mary? What would you say to Joseph? Maybe you would want to take the Christ child in your arms. But in your imagination, just let it run wild. Or maybe you're at the foot of the cross. You might be there alone. Or you might be there with Mary and with John. What would you say? Or maybe you're with that woman caught in adultery. What would you say to Jesus at that moment? Maybe what would you ask forgiveness for? In what way would you not want him to condemn you? But again, in our imagination, we can begin to carry on these dialogues with God our Father, with Jesus our Savior, Jesus our Shepherd. And that can allow our love for God, our trust in God, to kind of soak deeper into our lives. You know, so often our religion is up here in our heads. You know, we know the doctrines. We've memorized even some of the scriptures. But they haven't touched here too strongly. If we let our imagination carry on a dialogue, it can begin to allow those things that we know up here to begin to penetrate into our feelings, into our emotions. And it can become very healing, very transforming. You know, Jesus does shepherd us. He shepherds us through the church, his body. Just think about how he constantly leads and guides us by the teachings that we have, telling us what is the source of life and what is right and what is wrong and what can get in our way of eternal life. Think about how he comes to us in the sacraments. How he unites us to himself in baptism and forgives us in the sacrament of reconciliation and nourishes us with the bread and the cup of the Eucharist. Think about how he fills us with his Spirit through confirmation. He has shepherded us in all of those ways. Can we become more intensely aware of how Jesus does shepherd us, how God is Father to us? There's a line in that first reading that even I may not fit right here in the homily, I want to use it anyway, because it's so powerful, and it is too how we are shepherded. There is no salvation through anyone else. Nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved. That name of Jesus, Jesus our shepherd, Jesus who leads us to life-giving water, to green pastures, protects us, guides us. This is the shepherd we have. And you little children that are going to make your first communion, this is the shepherd you're going to receive this morning, the good shepherd. I want you to know how much he loves you, each of you. And no matter how bad you may have been sometime, we all that bad some days, aren't we? All do some things we wished we hadn't have done. Jesus still loves us, and that's so important to know. Because he didn't come, he told us one time, he didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us. He came to bring us to his Father in heaven. And one of the ways he comes to us is he gives us his body and blood to eat and drink. We don't quite understand that, do we? No, I don't understand it either. But I know that he said it, and I believe him, that he gives us his very self and that little bitty piece of bread and that little sip of wine, which has become his body and blood. And he does that because he wants to be part of us. And he wants us to be part of him. And he wants to give us new life. He wants to give us a life that will last forever. That's what you're receiving this morning. And I ask you to receive it often, every week, at least, if not every day. But don't just receive it out of habit. Think about it. Remember who you're receiving. Remember what you're doing. Prepare your hearts. Because he is your Savior. He is your shepherd. He is the one who loves you. And all of us need to do that. All of us need to receive Him often, but we need to do that with a deep awareness of who it is we're receiving, a deep openness to let Him enter into us and remake our lives so that we live in new and better ways.